Today's reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 through 58. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 through 58 in your Bible, or turn to page 934 in the Bibles provided for you. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You may be seated. The children may go back to children's church.
So, in the 1600s, St. Paul's Cathedral in disrepair, fires, neglect. There was no willingness to seem to get the project done. Then in 1666, there was a fire that went through London and basically finished off St. Paul's Cathedral. At that time, then there was a perceived desire with the rebuilding of London to do the cathedral. The architects were not sure where to begin. And Christopher Wren took over the project and began the rebuilding of St. Paul's Cathedral. And he was able to see it when I think one of his sons laid the last stones in around 1708 or 1710. The story goes that three men who were working on this project were asked a question. They were asked, "What are you doing?" The first answered, "I am cutting stone." The second man answered, "I am making a living. I am making 3 shillings a day." And the third person said, "I am helping Sir Christopher Wren build a great cathedral for the glory of God." Some have a daily vision. Others, like this man, have an eternal vision. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we pray that we would not simply be the hired hands, but feel that we are building God's kingdom alongside with him, understanding that all our works have eternal purpose. And Lord, that in you, we are coming alongside the creator of the universe who we serve and yet also calls us friend. Lord, let us never give up in doing good. Let us understand the eternal hope and purpose that we have in you, that all we do is for your glory and has eternal consequences. We pray this in your holy name. Amen and amen. We are called never to quit. Last week I showed you one of the favorite pictures of my life, the frog. And if you look at this picture, a stork is about to eat him, and this guy won't give up, and he has grabbed his neck, and he is not going to let go. I was given this picture in the mid-90s by a war clerk or a nurse. I can still remember that place. And I'd say, "I love that picture. You know, can I have it?" And she colored it up and gave it to me. And as the epitome of what we would teach our seniors today, our graduates every year, and even to us who are a little more seasoned, we are not to quit. If you do not quit, I cannot guarantee success. But I can tell you this. If you do quit, and I understand there are times when we should call it good enough and there are times to quit, but generally we are called to be moving forward and we give up and quit, I can guarantee you failure. If you quit when you should not, when you are to persevere, you will fail. But we are called, like this frog, to be tough as nails and understand to keep moving forward. Reading in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, "But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." This chapter, these verses, were written some 2,000 years ago to a church in Corinth. Now, Corinth, historically speaking, it was a very religious city in their own way. Not in religion as the way we see it today, their religion was more a series of practices, of things to do, not in a moral sense. And in fact, their religion often had no moralness to it. It was somewhat ambiguous. There was no right or wrong. It was whatever was best. Their religion was a series of practices and sacrifices to appease the god or to ask for their favor. Religion was almost like politics or business to them. So in many ways, Corinth was more of a secular city than we would imagine. It is very secular, like the world that our graduates are going into today. This next generation, and even us here in the church, we are living in a much more secular world, a country, than we have had for some time. So regardless of our station in life, we live in a society that does not only not care about God, but I would even say goes out of their way to disrespect God. So the question is, how will we live? So I give our seniors words of wisdom today, but not just for our graduating seniors. I believe this is for all of us for all time. In verse 57, but thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As he comes to the end of this letter, Paul is telling the Corinthian church about eternity. About they will get new bodies, renewed eternal bodies. That the sin of death is going to be defeated. He mocks death. He goes, death, where is your sting? And that we will be in glorified bodies, renewed bodies like Christ had after his resurrection. And that therefore we have hope in Christ and our lives will have eternal consequences. And then he says these words in 57, because of those things, thanks be to God, because he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of the difficulties of life, sometimes we may feel defeated, sometimes we will be defeated. The ravages of age and gravity on our body, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, because of these things, we then have verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, let nothing move you. Other terms that we could use in our English language. As a result of this, my beloved brothers and sisters, you must stand firm. Remain unshakable. Be strong and immovable. Let nothing move you. You must stand firm, unshakable, steadfast, and immovable. He's talking about our faith and our hope in Christ. And we are never to quit and to remain immovable, steadfast, always going forward in Christ. And why is that? Why would he give us such encouragement, such an admonishment? Because life is hard. Life is very difficult. There is sickness. There is illness. There is politics. When you look at St. Paul's Cathedral, built in the early 1000s, fires and wars. It was left desolate, unused. And a man had to have a vision. And it had like have to have most of a city burned down in 1666. And it wasn't until 1708-10 that it was accomplished. It was not a simple task. It took years. And it all depended on money or supplies, whatever they had. But it moved begrudgingly forward. Today, as far as faith, you may hear the word deconstruct. People are deconstructing their faith. They seem to be losing their faith, or they're questioning it. And I say, I don't like the word deconstruct. What I would instead encourage is to always review, to always reevaluate. There is nothing wrong with doubt. In fact, I would say faith is built on doubt. If you don't have any doubts, you don't need faith. But faith is that sometimes things are difficult, things are troubling, you don't always see the light, or you're worried the light is in a tunnel, might be a train coming at you from past experiences. But because of faith, we still move forward. So don't just believe because you were told to believe. Don't just say because. Rather, think. Pray for God's empowering presence in your life. Work on your faith. Grow in your faith. Many analogies in the Bible about our faith are like preparing for war, like preparing to plant the field. You have to work at it. One person plants, one person waters, but God makes it grow. But there was a lot of work put into that. I sometimes surprise people. I read atheists. I read people who don't believe the Bible. And this might come as a shock and a strange thing. And because of that, my faith actually grows. See, sometimes I read things and I'm like, what's the answer to that? Boy, that sounds devastating to my Christian faith. And I read and study as others and I'm like, that's nothing. When you read people of the faith who have taken on these arguments, who are willing to defend their faith with gusto, who do not hide or shirk from their duty, I find the arguments of those who don't believe the Bible, who don't believe in God, to be quite weak. And so I read them, and it strengthens me, and it prepares me to answer. It engages my mind. And it's not for the faint of heart. We need to do so with wisdom. The Bible says there's multitude of safety and a multitude of counsel to bring others around. When you find something you don't understand, instead of faltering in your faith, you seek others and you get godly advice. And don't let them tell you just because. I've told this story before. When I was a kid, I probably drive my mom crazy. Mom, how can God be eternal? Just because. Now go to bed. How can Jesus be fully man and fully God? It's time for bed. I mean, my poor mom didn't understand those things. She had faith, and she was very strong in her faith where she was at, and God bless that. But learn and grow in our faith. Why? Because we read again, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, excelling in the work of the Lord. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're to be steadfast and immovable in our faith, and then not only that, but always moving forward in our faith. We are called to good works. We are called to do things. I remember when I heard this little proverb, and it was just struck me right. Christianity is not a spectator sport. If you want a spectator sport, don't pick Christianity. It calls for involvement. I love to talk about people in the stands. You can ridicule the ref. You can tell the players what they did wrong. And then they say, well, why don't you go out and play? Play, get on the field. People get hurt doing that. Why would I want to do that? I'm safe here criticizing. That's not Christianity. We are called to move on to the field, and you will get hurt. Sometimes by the opposing team, and yes, sometimes by your own brothers and sisters. It is inevitable. But we are called as children of God to serve the Lord in real and practical ways. We are empowered by His Holy Spirit to get out and be active in the world. And for those who now are at a time in life where they can't be active, they can be powerful in prayer. We do not work to earn merit or friendship with God. It is a grace given to us. I mean, when Christ, fully God and fully man in ways we cannot understand, goes to His disciples and say, I call you friend. It is incomprehensible to understand. It is a gift given to us that we're friends, and yet we still serve him, and we are called to serve him. When you have that teacher that you admire, when you have that coach that you admire, when you look up to your parents, yes, you still do what they say out of obedience. When your coach says, run laps, you run laps. When your teacher says, this is what you have to learn, you have to know this for the test tomorrow, you learn it. When your parents say, we're cleaning house, or do what you have to do, you do it. Yes, out of obligation, because they're your authority. But when you love them, when you admire your coach, when you know they're making you do what you must do for your benefit, when your teacher is teaching you things that you know you need to learn, when your parents are raising you up, you not only do so out of obligation and discipline, you also do so out of love and admiration. And yes, there are times that sometimes I admit, I get up in the morning, it's like, Lord, before I can pray or read, I need that coffee. And Lord, I want you to know I'm just here out of obligation this morning. But then our obligation becomes passion. Any marriage that simply thinks that it will work because we love each other. You ask any romantic couple that's about to get married and say, why are you going to make it when so many are divorced? Oh, but Pastor, we love each other. That is so strange. Every couple I've ever met and married has said the exact same thing, even the ones divorced. They loved. I'm sorry. Loved each other. There I go. And they still ended up divorced. Because love is not an ooey-gooey emotion. It is discipline. It is hard work. It is obligation. And yes, it's so much more. It is that romantic feeling. It is both. No one wants to be in a marriage that's all obligation. However, when you have two-year-old kids, or if you have twins in diapers, it probably is at that point. Because you know it will get better again. And you know you have to put in your time. So we work to serve the Lord, yes, out of obligation, yes, out of discipline, but also as co-heirs. See, we're not hired hands. It's like we're co-owners. You own the business. You don't just work for the business owner. You are joint heir. Like that last person, that last man who was asked, I'm just not laying stone and bricks. I'm not just getting paid. I understand fully the kingdom I am building. I am building St. Paul's Cathedral, and this Sir Christopher Wren knows what he's doing. And this will be a glorious building. He had no idea when he started, this is what they would see. And it would still be here today. But it appears he did understand in some way. He did grasp the significance of his work. And you know, I don't know if that's a true story or a parable about three workers, but you can fully understand that is the feeling of many people. I'm just getting a day's pay. I'm just cutting stone. And another person like, I know the eternal significance of what I'm doing in Christ. Some of us have a larger vision. Lord, give me a larger vision, an eternal vision of what our mission, what my mission, what our graduates' missions will be in Christ. And it's never too late, because two words I'd always say for our graduates, and even for all of us here, no matter what stage in life you're at, always forward. Yes, you've maybe made mistakes. We hopefully learn from our mistakes. As John Wayne supposedly said, life's hard, stupid makes it harder. But if you make a stupid mistake and learn from it, it wasn't so stupid anymore. We're always moving forward in Christ. Come as you are, we have often heard. And you love to hear me say that. But also, don't expect to stay that way. Graduates, let the Holy Spirit, the transformative work and empowering presence of God, move in you, renew you, encourage you. Because the next stage of your life will be very different and at times difficult. I tell my daughter, I go, I remember my first year in college. And I'd go back home or back to campus on Sunday, and it was a depressing drive. Leaving home, leaving mom and dad, and going back to school and still adjusting. And then by my sophomore year, Sunday night, I'm headed back home. And by my senior year, I actually went back to campus. We had a Christmas party with our friends and actually left home to go back to campus for a few days. My mom's like, why are you leaving? But my life had changed. It had moved forward. And my mom was still like, but where are you going? And I came back. It was a quick running back. But for my freshman year, it was such a drastic change because as the saying is, grow where God plants you. And I let my roots grow deep. Let God's empowering presence move in your life. And then the problem sometimes is when you grow where God plants you, your roots grow deep and God might call you to pick up and move. Oh, but Lord, I like it. I've dug some deep roots here. But it's time to move, child. It's time to start over. I have new plans for you. Our graduates here, Bree has moved twice. Now, Addie's gone from kindergarten to 12th grade here. But they've planted themselves here, but now they're going to be moving, and their garden has moved with them. And God's empowering presence will be with them for the work of ministry. And it will take tenacity. It will take prayer. It will take the Holy Spirit's gifting as our teacher. It will take knowledge, study, and work. And it will accumulate in a way of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to know when God is calling you, to know when the things you have learned, knowledge, and to put them to proper use. Wisdom is different than just knowledge. It is the wisdom to use it properly. And may you do that as you move forward. So as we preached in the last couple of weeks, as you move forward, and even for us here today, let us seek the Lord in prayer where He would have us go, for the work where He would have us work. Even some of us here today, we reevaluate how God might be using us in the ministry. But we're called to pray, we're called to ask, we're called to seek, we're called to keep knocking. Lord, I don't know where you have me go in my life. I feel maybe like I'm at a pause in my life. I feel adrift. And those are natural feelings. They happen in everyone's life. And for you seniors, next year may feel that way. But rather than to stay adrift, to keep praying, Lord, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? Where would you have me serve? To ask and keep asking. To knock and keep knocking. Because graduates, I will tell you something that you might not have heard. In fact, you've probably heard quite the opposite. But the world is not waiting for you. You've probably heard those graduation sermons. The world is waiting for you. Go change the world. Good luck with that. The world is not waiting for you. In fact, they probably see you as competition. And they would just soon have you stay home and fail than get in the way of their job and their mindset. And you know, it's really hard to change the world. We live in a world that is in deep need of Christ. The task before you, before all of us, is daunting. Outright depressing at times. Yet in Christ we are told this: always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labors in the Lord are not in vain. Because there are days you're going to think, well, there's a week in my life I'll never get back that I totally wasted. But in God, it will be redeemed. Give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labors in the Lord are not in vain. Your work, your labors, your efforts all matter and have eternal consequences and significance. And maybe you're more like Mother Teresa. She worked in India. I've told the story many times. She worked in India, and people say, you're in a nation of almost a billion people, and now it is over a billion people, racked with poverty and starvation, and you're feeding this group of people here, and yet there's still millions unfed. And she would say something, well, the ones I'm feeding are very happy that I am. And I'm just going to work and feed the ones that are in front of me. That's where God's placed me. That's where I'll work. And I pray that somebody else would take the next group in front of them. So at times to the world, your work may seem insignificant and seems like it doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, to the people you help and the people you feed, it will matter. And then some of you may be thrown into projects of fame and recognition. And you'll be told that you're making a difference globally. But whether you are making a difference globally, whether you're recognized, or whether you're like Mother Teresa, who was not well known at one time, and it seems like her work is insignificant before God, our work in the Lord is not in vain and has eternal consequences. My dear brothers and sisters, graduates, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labors in the Lord are not in vain. Your endeavors will always matter, will always have significance in Christ, will always have value. Even if it goes unseen to others, to the ones that you help and aid and assist, and in the eyes of Christ, your labors are eternal, and in Christ Jesus often have more significance than we will ever understand. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we take these words of challenge to heart for our graduates here today in our community and graduates all across our nation and this globe, in high schools and colleges. Lord, let us always labor in you. As servants and as friends, let us be steadfast and immovable, always being strong in our faith, Lord. Lord, let us remain strong in our faith. And Lord, let us understand the work we do in you will touch people's lives, advance the kingdom of God, bring the heart of Christ, the aroma of Christ to people in ways that we will never fully understand and maybe see until eternity. Lord, our Father, God, our Creator, we pray these things empowered by your Holy Spirit. In the name and character of your Son, Jesus Christ, let these things be. Amen and amen.